Welcome back to For Love of Food here at SavorLife.com. I'm Mike Warren Thomas, and it is a, as I said in the gardening show, a cold, cold morning, but not too cold for the apples. It is ideal apple picking weather today. Cool and crisp and sunny, and Herd Orchards has pick your own apples available. Things like Gala, and they also have a couple of their experimental apples that are still numbered. They have an experimental orchard that they're doing research along with Cornell, and they have number 14 and number 12. Those are ready for picking, and our family is often picked in that experimental orchard. These are trees that are planted very close to each other. They are, you sort of think of the traditional apple orchard as being, you know, huge trees set fairly far apart, and so big that they almost touch each other. But again, you know, probably 20 or 30 feet apart. And this experimental orchard, the apples, the trees are planted, I don't know, maybe 4 feet apart, and they're kind of trelliswed upright. So they're very upright trees. The rows are only maybe 6 feet apart, maybe 8 feet apart. And so it's almost like walking through a vineyard in a sense, the way they're trellised. And so part of the idea is that they're easier to harvest. But it's kind of funny to see them growing this way, because these trees produce a lot of apples, and it seems like they sometimes have more apples than leaves. It's kind of fun to see that experimental orchard and sample those varieties. So you can go pick your own and, you know, take advantage of the fact that we live in one of the best apple producing regions of the country. You know, there's a reason apples aren't produced down south or in much of the U.S. because they like the cold. They don't want it too cold, so you know certain varieties aren't going to do well, you know, up in Canada. But we're in a sweet spot where it's just cold enough for pretty much all the varieties to grow here, and they're just fantastic apples. So go out and pick some of your own. It's fun to see how they grow. It's fun to taste the different varieties, figure out which ones you want to harvest, go home and make some applesauce, some apple pies, give some away. You know, they store really well in the refrigerator, basically, you know, your own cold storage. They store exceptionally well. And Herd Orchards also has red raspberries right now, and perhaps still some peaches and probably some plums. Although those seasons, especially peaches, are coming to an end. I was out at Red Jacket Orchards yesterday on my way back from Penang, and I picked up some donut peaches, the last of the ones that they have. These are a white donut peach, and they are really delicious. So the sweet corn season is really going to come to an end after this week, I'm afraid, because sweet corn doesn't like these kinds of temperatures at night. 30s just shuts them down, and they, you know, so if you love sweet corn, I would go in search of it today. Maybe call ahead, see if places like Gentles Market or Powers Farm Market have some. I saw it at some road stands coming back from Penang yesterday. Bolton Farms may bring some tomorrow to the Brighton Farmers Market, but I would, again, try and get in touch maybe with John Bolton, see if you can email him. Perhaps you can do that through the Brighton Farmers Market website. Some of the farms are still doing pre-orders as an option. I'm not sure if he is one of those, but he has some really good sweet corn he brings to the market. I saw a post by John's Bakery. Jonathan had canned like 25 jars of corn, something like that, from John Bolton. Because they're both vendors at the Brighton Farmers Market. So he had canned some corn for the winter. It'd be fun to see what that tastes like. I mean, I've had corn out of, you know, cans from the store, but these are, this is, you know, canned in glass, mason jars, and it's going to be fun to see what Jonathan, probably he'll use that for some of their meals. Early in the shutdown, they were doing Sunday suppers, and once the farmer's market reopened on Sundays, they switched that to Thursdays. So they also do bring a savory dish usually that you can get at the Brighton Farmer's Market on Sundays, but they are now doing Thursday night suppers that they deliver or you can pick up. They're based up in Greece. Their commercial kitchen is up on Ladder Road. And so a rotating variety of Thursday night suppers if you're looking to have someone else do the cooking and support one of the farmers market vendors. And Jonathan just loves to cook. He's one of the great examples of people that are really throughout the hospitality industry. And that's why they own restaurants. That's why they are, in many cases, are servers and wait staff people or chefs. Or, you know, in the case of Jonathan, own a bakery. Because they love to cook and bake and share that with people. And you know, during the full shutdown, they couldn't do that. And, you know, that's really that's their sustenance in a sense. That's the fuel that keeps them going is that desire to cook and bake for other people and see their reactions and have them enjoy your food and, you know, create that community. And Jonathan is you can just see it when you talk to him at the Brighton Farmers Market. Both he and Jonathan and John just, you know, love sharing their food with you. And, you know, some of the stories behind the recipes, et cetera. You'll see them at the Brighton Farmers Market tomorrow, but there is a Thursday night supper option. They also do special order cakes and desserts, things like that. Again, if you want, get in contact with anyone I mentioned, email me, michael@saverlife.com. One note about Herd Orchards in this crazy coronavirus spring, summer, fall, their hours are more limited than they were last year. Their market is open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 11 to 3. Pick your own is Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, 11 to 3. And they ask that you call to reserve a time to pick your own. You probably won't have trouble, you know, getting the time that you want, but they want to be careful not to have too many people out in the orchard at one time. And I appreciate that. So call and reserve a time if you want to go pick your own apples today or maybe this coming Thursday, Friday. Again, 11 to 3, the time for pick your own. They're also doing an autumn picnic basket Fridays and Saturdays. And I've got to try one. I haven't. Those have to be pretty delicious. Go out and go out of your way to support our local farms. As the season starts to wrap up, the tomatoes and the peppers, hopefully most of the farms will not get a frost these nights because the tomatoes and the peppers in particular just can't tolerate that. So they'll be covering their crops where possible. You can't necessarily cover an entire field of peppers, but this time of the year, one of the most beautiful sights is at the Rochester Public Market, and it's Palmiter's Nursery and their peppers. They grow well over 100 varieties of peppers, and they set them all out in their individual baskets, and it's like a color collage. Just these vibrant yellows, oranges, burgundies, the poblanos, they're super dark green, all variations on red, hot peppers, sweet peppers. Really, it's an extraordinary sight. They're over by the Railroad Street entrance to the public market under the A shed, and it's worth going just to see the extraordinary variety of peppers that they sell this time of the year. So hopefully they don't get frosted in Avon close tonight, tomorrow night, next couple nights. But they will be covering, as you might want to do in your own garden, you know, an old sheet, a piece of plastic, something like that, and use some bricks or something to hold it down, because a little gust of wind can lift that up, and you won't have the protection that you thought you had overnight. But if you love if you love peppers and tomatoes, it's going to be tricky temperatures the next couple nights. And after that, looks fine. It will probably, we may not have another frost until, you know, mid to late October, sometimes even later. But it's these couple early ones that really throw a wrench in the works. So if you have comments, questions, you can always email me, michael@saverlife.com. You know, if you have places you've been recently, places you want to suggest, send me a note. I saw a note, or I saw a, actually, I saw it posted, but also caught a little bit of Evan Dawson's Connection show yesterday, so Friday, his second hour, 1 p.m. It's available as a podcast online at wxxi.org. He was interviewing the owners of a bar in Manhattan that moved up to, or near Sheldrake Point Winery this summer and is still open. I think it'll be open through, I think they said through mid to late October, and doing food and drinks up in the Finger Lakes, because they could not do indoor service in New York City until the last, this, you know, maybe 10 days ago. And it's only 25% capacity, which is not a way to make money in a restaurant. The 25% capacity is really, it's just not survivable. And 50% capacity is what restaurants are at here in Rochester, and that's not really, you know, survivable, sustainable for that long. We've got to keep the infection rate low enough that they can open to at least three quarters capacity, hopefully soon. And there's an article about it in the Democrat and Chronicle too. This operation, it was a great idea, and I haven't been able to get down there. It's near Interlaken, again just above Cayuga Lake on the west side, and it's called Supernatural Lake Wine Bar, and again they're going to be open for at least another month. Actually, Tracy Schumacher, her article says October 31st. So Thursdays through Mondays, they have a pretty extraordinary wine list, I guess, and they're doing a Aloha Friday pig roast. Sounds like a cool operation. And again, this is a New York City business that kind of relocated the Finger Lakes for the summer season, and they're still open in New York, but very limited, because they don't have much sidewalk space or, you know, outdoor dining space, and it's, you know, there's sort of a skeleton crew, I think, operating there in New York City. So Supernatural Lake Wine Bar, read about it. There are some cottages there at that property where they are, and you can read about it in democratandchronicle.com, along with a few other places to consider. Tracy wrote about Tabora Farm and Winery, which is in Dundee. Living Roots, their pop-up, Scout Vineyards, which is new in the Finger Lakes, and Sans Dumplings at Chemeter Wines, which is right near Fox Run and Anthony Road. Chemeter was started by Johannes Reinhardt, the former winemaker at Anthony Road, and his wife is the chef doing the dumplings. And I haven't been down to try them, but Imelda Reinhardt, a nice photo of her in Tracy's article, and the dumplings sound pretty extraordinary. And I've gone to a couple places in Rochester in the last year, maybe not that recently, and had dumplings that were just disappointing. I love really good dumplings, and these places just I'm not a dumpling expert, but these seemed kind of like clunky dumplings. The ones that Sans Dumplings makes look pretty awesome in the photos. So again, democratandchronicle.com, 5 new places to go in the Finger Lakes for food and wine this fall. And it is available for subscribers, and you should become a subscriber. It's like $10 a month for a digital subscription to the DNC. And with the protests going on and all kinds of other things in our community, we really need these local journalists, and they're doing a really phenomenal job. Whether it's Tracy Schumacher or Steve Orr or the photographers, and really putting themselves out there and doing what journalists do. It's just there's fewer of them these days, and I have even more of a sense of how much we need them when the community is in the kind of turmoil it's in right now, and I really appreciate all their coverage of those things, as well as things like what's new in the Finger Lakes for food and wine this fall. So again, become a subscriber, support our local publications, whether it's the Democrat and Chronicle or Edible Finger Lakes. They have a new issue out, features Petra Page Mann on the cover, and she and Matthew are the owners of Fruition Seeds in Naples, and some wonderful articles in this issue. Also, Green Star Market in Ithaca, Vice Vineyards, Peter Weiss on Cuca Lake, the Park Inn restaurant in Hammondsport, which is Dan Eaton, the executive chef, one of my favorite chefs over the last couple decades. And he's the executive chef for the Park Inn in Hammondsport. So get Edible Finger Lakes, become a subscriber, and catch up on some of the things that are happening in the region. And you can reach me anytime. Email me, michael@saverlife.com. If you have comments, questions, if you run into something really really delicious, some great service, etc., send me a note. I'd love to hear from you. I found some ground cherries. I got them at Lori's Natural Foods. And you don't often see them at grocery stores. You should look for them, but usually I find them at farmers markets. But I haven't seen that many this fall or even this summer. And the ground cherries are kind of like little tiny cherry tomatoes, but they're covered in paper, kind of like a tomatillo, but they're much smaller. They're quite sweet, but also have, it's not just sweetness, it's also just really good flavor. So you peel the kind of the papery covering back and eat this little thing that's the size of a large blueberry, really. It's got very tiny seeds in it, so you won't really notice those. And these husks, this papery husks, really protect them for a long time. So we've had them out, in a bowl on the counter for a week or two, and they don't dry out. This husk is really the perfect covering. I've grown them before, and one of the reasons they're called ground cherries is that they fall off the plant when they're when they're ripe, and the husk protects them on the ground, so they really don't get dirty, or the insects really don't get to them. The chipmunks love them. A friend who had some ground cherries, and the chipmunks ate every single one of them. And if our dog discovers them, our dog will also eat them. Our dog just discovered that cherry tomatoes are really quite delicious, and has been eating some of those in our garden. So ground cherries, look for them. Again, I found them at Lori's Natural Foods. You might find them at the Brighton Farmers Market, but not consistently. I'm not sure why. Maybe there's just not enough demand for them, which is one of the reasons I wanted to mention them, because people are asking for them. Maybe more farms will grow them. Lighthouse Gardens grew them last year, and I forgot to ask Todd Lighthouse whether they have some or if they're growing any this year, but I haven't seen any there. So ask around, look for ground cherries. They are really delicious, and you should consider planting some. Fruition Seeds had some, has the seeds, and also sells, or I don't know if they will be doing transplants this next spring, but in the past they have sold some transplants of the ground cherries. But they do sell the seeds, and you should try growing some. You could probably self-sow those seeds early spring. You wouldn't have to necessarily start them indoors. And once you have them for a season, they'll probably reseed themselves. If you learn what the leaves look like when they're just starting, you'll probably have ground cherries in the future too. Again, delicious, and something a lot of people haven't been exposed to, haven't tried it. So that's part of the fun of having them, is allowing other people to try them, and they are really delicious, just fantastic. So look for them, and let me know where you find them, actually, unless it's at Lori's where I found some. Love to know some other places that might have them. They should be available until frost. Again, if these cold nights here don't frost some of the area farms, then we still may see some going into later this fall. Also, one of our neighbors said that they had some pawpaws in their tree. That's an unusual tree to have in our area. There's more of them in Pennsylvania. There's a children's song about way down yonder in the pawpaw patch. And there are some pawpaw trees in Highland Park. I've got to go in and see whether there are any pawpaws up in them. It's a fascinating fruit. It's a very tropical flavor and the texture of an avocado. So if you run into any pawpaws in your travels through farmer markets, etc., let me know, because I'd love to have some. It's been a few years since I've had some pawpaws, and they're unusual. They're fairly hard to grow. One of the weird kind of trivia things about pawpaws is that they are pollinated by flies rather than bees, which is just kind of weird. You have to have a couple varieties, supposedly, in order to actually produce fruit. So our neighbor says they have a few. It's a pretty big tree, so I can't see where the pawpaws are up in the tree. A little difficult to harvest them. I remember being out in California, and someone was harvesting from an avocado tree, which was a tall avocado tree, and they had this pole with a little tiny basket on it. And the pole must have been maybe 20 feet long. And so you reach up that little basket, and you'd kind of twist the basket, which would twist the avocado off, and then you could lower it to the ground without having it damaged. So maybe they need to try that with these pawpaws if they're way up in the tree. But if you run into unusual fruit and vegetables, let me know, because I may end up heading off to that farmer's market or farm market just in search of those. So you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. And again, if you've had some great service or food recently, send me a note. We've been posting some things on Instagram for Rochester Food Net, and just made some pesto to freeze this past week. That's always a family tradition because we love pesto, and then we can eat it all summer long, or all winter long. Also posted that I was up at Bauman's Farm Market, and they have strawberries, which look like they were picked today. I mean, they were super fresh strawberries. And so I figured they must be growing some ever-bearing strawberries, you know, in a back greenhouse or somewhere there at Bauman's. But they actually, they said they're from Quebec, which seemed even stranger because Quebec is further north. But got to find out more details about those strawberries. But they are really delicious strawberries. And then I stopped in at Niblack Foods, and they are located in the Genesee Regional Market. They're in a brand new space, just opened this week, like a Tuesday or so they opened. And this is directly across from their former space in this new section that was built kind of between two existing buildings. I think they tore down a building and then just and rebuilt between these two buildings in the middle of the Genesee Regional Market. So Niblack has spices, lots and lots of spices. They have some local sauces and found Karma sauce there. And again, tons of different spices. One of the things that they had, which I hadn't seen this terminology before, was sanding sugar. That wasn't really an appealing name, but they had all different colors of it. Clearly used to decorate, you know, cakes and cookies and things, but I don't think I'd seen the term sanding sugar before. They had extreme Karma, as well as smoky Karma and curry Karma from Karma sauce, and again, tons of spices. So we've had trouble finding pine nuts to make pesto, and they had about as many pine nuts as you could possibly want there. So Niblack has a new space. Check it out. Very, very open. It's really looks great, and they're still kind of moving into it. When you're there in the Genesee Regional Market, maybe if you go today, check out Newbury Park Pastries. They're sort of on the other end of the market, end of Mushroom Boulevard, and they have retail hours on Saturdays. And been bringing in products from other local vendors. So I think Kate is there till 5 today at the in the Genesee Regional Market. Newbury Park Pastries, great pot pies. And with colder weather here, the pot pies just taste fantastic. And lots of different ones, too. And she does some desserts. And then Cheesy Eddie's is there in the Genesee Regional Market. That's their second location. If you haven't been in, it's where they can do more production than very limited space that they had on South Avenue. And they have a little cafe there so you can get coffee and a piece of carrot cake or cheesecake or order some to take with you. But they're also in the Genesee Regional Market. They're continuing to upgrade the market. There's going to be a couple new places. I think Blue Toad Hard Cider is going to be in one of the space is next to Niblack. I've heard Sweet Pea kitchen based or Sweet Pea plant based foods. They're going to be locating into the Genesee Regional Market. So that space is now ready. Some of those businesses are starting to move in, and Niblack is the first one to open. They have the biggest space in that new section of the Genesee Regional Market. If you run into new things like this, again, send me an email. Michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes this morning and also tomorrow, 9 a.m., the Grapevine here at saverlife.com. Have a great day.